Operation Freedom with your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham! Talk 1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from a safe and secure undisclosed Level 3 Freedom Bunker, which is linked to Wham! Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker, manned by my boss, Derek Stone. I'd like to thank you for joining us on this Sunday, a very special Sunday. Every Sunday is special, but this one in particular, Father's Day. This show is dedicated to all the dads out there and to my dad in heaven, who, if it were not for his guidance over the years, I don't think that I would have been able to accomplish some of the things and all of the things that I've been able to over my life. And I miss him terribly. It's been 17 years since I've been able to wish him a happy Father's Day in person, but we do every day, actually, in my prayers in the morning. But it is a very, very big day and a wonderful day for all the dads out there. It's my honor to welcome back a fan favorite to this show, someone who is on the front lines and someone who has the courage to speak against the deep state, and he has done so for decades, much to their chagrin. Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio, agenda21radio.news. Paul has been awarded and deemed to be one of the 50 most influential and most listened to streaming talk radio show hosts. Let's get a little background on Paul. Paul takes on the issues surrounding many issues that impact your freedom. In particular, he was one of the first people to out the Deep State's United Nations Agenda 21 and subsequent Agenda 2030 programs. Most people don't know that the United Nations in 1992 came up with a plan, a design that will control virtually every aspect of your life. But they did, and the plan is in effect, thanks to actually the guidance in the United States of George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and of course, globalist extraordinaire Barack Obama. They all signed on to it. And at first, they did it in a stealth manner. But many of the things you're seeing today are the result of what those prior administrations put into place. See, under the guise of environmentalism, the United Nations Agenda 21 is in reality a means to destroy capitalism and redistribute the wealth of the United States. I encourage you to go to Paul Preston's site, agenda21radio.news. Paul, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Dave, thank you very much for having me on.
Well, Paul, let's start with the rally in Tulsa last night, of the Trump rally. Your take, because remember, anyone who attended that, or even actually thought of attending it, is going to get coronavirus, according to the bought-off lamestream fake media. Your take on the event?
Well, it was, I loved listening to Donald Trump. Everything about the speech that he gave is just spot on. And I know it was limited. It looked like they had about two-thirds of the people that were there, that's supposed to be there. And, of course, it's 20,000-seat stadium. So that's somewhat paltry, considering where Donald Trump has been at the heights of hundreds of thousands. But I was really, really excited to see him back out on the campaign trail after, you know, months of this coronavirus business. I think it was an absolutely fantastic start to the campaign season, much to the chagrin even of those that tried to stop it at the very last minute. And as you know, when it takes so much energy on the other side to try and stop Donald Trump from speaking, you know that they have a big problem. The biggest problem that I have, Dave, is the use of children in trying to stop Donald Trump's campaign. As you know, they were using TikTok and other systems out there to try and garner up all the tickets, available tickets that would be available online. And they went from 100,000 to 200,000 to 600 to 800 to 1 million requests. And of course, that was all being orchestrated by the other side, adults manipulating children to use their TikTok device, you know, on their iPhones and so on to swoop up all the the tickets and give a, you know, a false impression about how many are going to be there. And of course, the other part, I think, was a lot of fear that was being bestowed in by Black Lives Matter, another terrorist group that needs to be called a terrorist group, by the way, by the president, and other sundry people out there. I think that for the most part, having to fight through all that and fight through some of the line situations that were going on, I thought it was a pretty good turnout. I mean, they put all the filters, all the stops on it to prevent, you know, to make sure he had zero people show up, yet he had still thousands show up in support of him, which I thought was great. You had to fight through it.
Yeah, in fact, there are videos both before and after of Black Lives Matters individuals and Antifa-associated individuals that were harassing, that were beyond bothering, threatening. A number of the people that attended the event, they were blocking entrances. The National Guard ended up having to move some of them out. And as you mentioned, TikTok, which it's an app, it's my understanding, and it's based in China.
Right.
And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was bragging this morning that, well, she helped mobilize these children, as you stated,
right,
to be involved in an election interference ploy.
Right.
In gobbling up tickets so that there wouldn't be – that the legitimate people that wanted to attend the event would be unable to because these tickets were gobbled up by these children who had no intention of going and were being used.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to caution parents out there if they've got the their kids have TikTok to remove it immediately because it is a spy device by the Chinese. It's also worse than that, Dave, and this is one of the first tools of choice for child pedophiles and those that want to steal your children. And I want to emphasize that, you know, I've had exclusive training by the L.A. Crimes Against Children's Task Force, L.A. Police Department's Against Children's Task Force back in the 1980s, and none of this has changed. Photography and audio and video and exciting things like that to connect with other people and link up with other people is one of the most classic tools. It's almost like, you know, offering candy to a child on the street by an adult. It's the same thing. And they're luring your children into perhaps some very serious problems. And a lot of these people get a lot of these kids get abducted, and they find themselves being sexually exploited around the world. It's a horrible life, and this is just this TikTok, in my opinion, is just one way to lure your children into sexual deviancy. And it's sad, but it's true. Pedophiles love these devices, and I just caution your children. Now the Democratic Party loves them for other reasons. They're using children, and it's Ocasio-Cortez, who looks very, very young. We know that she came out of the training camp at Chapman University in Southern California, which has connections to, of course, the whole Disney folks over there. So this is something that people need to be cautious about and, you know, keep their children off the TikTok. It's just like we don't use Zoom anymore in our organization because we got the briefing on Zoom about how every Zoom meeting is monitored because Zoom is from China. And so we're much better off. There's other alternatives out there. But this TikTok thing and this craze that's going on, they're luring your children in. And again, that goes right into the White Lives Matter thing and also the Antifa thing that which we've seen all the protesting. And people look around when they see the Antifa and White Lives Matter folks show up. And usually their age is from 16 to like 24. And that's the shocker. And I've been up and close and personal to these Antifa and White Lives Matter protests. We've had a whole series of them up here, and we've been doing our New California thing in opposition to them and so on. So we've had a lot of contact with them. And it's very, very obvious these are groomed individuals. And I say that because, you know, my experience as a school administrator, I've had to deal with children that have been sexually abused and groomed and adjudicated sex minors and, you know, had adjudicated sexual crimes and that sort of thing. And it's very much the similar thing that I saw in the three groups of White Lives Matter with the children. By the way, the children are usually white. They're usually white kids. And this is the thing. You'd think in a Black Lives Matter group, it would be Black Lives Matter. The only two black people I saw of 60 kids in one particular situation. I counted as nearly 60. The only two black people I saw were the people that were the heavyset men that were in two different cars. Both of them were black. And they had radios on, and they were radioing people that were standing behind those that had the plaques up and signs up, and they were coaching them with radio signals. It was very well orchestrated, very well planned out. But you know what? It was children. And that, you know, all my instincts just oozed right out of my skin about the pedophile rings and how they groom them sexually. This is exactly what's going on. Our kids are being groomed. And again, this goes on to what they learned in the brown shirts back in Adolf Hitler's days. The brown shirts started out as a joke. They started out with the wimpy kids, you know, the kids that were sissies and so on and things like that. And of course, there was a lot of beat downs. But those kids were groomed over years by Adolf Hitler into a thuggish group that ultimately got him, you know, to be the Führer of Germany. And of course, what he did with them is he did away with them, of course. But that was grooming. That was child to adult grooming that was done and orchestrated. And I could see it right in front of my very eyes on a couple of occasions. And the other part of it is when a lot of them show up, you know, they show up because they're paid to be there. They show up as and they're adults because they need money. That's the army that they're moving with right now. But what we have to understand is that there's a grooming going on with the army. And they're looking 3 and 4 and 5 and 10 years into the future. That's why Ocasio-Cortez is there as somewhat of a young-faced minder for the large group as a whole. This is complete grooming. And they're using our children very similar to how pedophiles do. And I wouldn't be surprised. Obviously, they're harvesting children that are not minded by their parents well and putting them into sexual slavery.
Paul, when anyone speaks against Black Lives Matter, folks are immediately called a racist. Well, no. When there's criticism of Black Lives Matter, I think it really bears on reality, because the last thing any organizations of these types that are linked to the deep state, and Black Lives Matter, as is Antifa, are linked to the deep state, if you just look at their funding mechanisms, the last thing they want is transparency. And just a little transparency, and I want you to comment on this. One of Black Lives Matter's co-founders, Patrice Cullors, admits, quote, now, remember, this is supposedly about police brutality and ending that. But no, here's what she said. Our goal is to get Trump out, end quote. Oh, wait. Now, where is the police brutality? No. This is what she said. And let's go back to something else she said back in 2015. Patrice Cullors, one of the founders, in 2015 says about Black Lives Matter organizers that were, quote, trained Marxists, end quote.
Right.
Your take, Paul.
Yeah, there's Marxist, Maoist, there's a lot of training that's been going on for a long time. And I know Trevor Loudon in his book, The Enemies Within, kind of points out a lot of this, but you can see it. It doesn't take a lot of research to get into it. But the person who's really behind a lot of this is Bill Ayers. And he has been behind a lot of this ever since the 70s. He hasn't stopped. And he's the one who's been setting up all these types of organizations all throughout the world, using the indigenous people, I might add. And he's worked with people in southern South America and, of course, in Africa to try and stir up, of course, the indigenous people's movement. And we've seen the indigenous people's movement here in our country, of course, with the Indians and with other organizations that like blacks, disenfranchised populations and so on, which has always been what they've wanted to do, is create race animus and race division. That's what they've always tried to do. And of course, when you have this kind of specialized training, you know, you can see the training being played out. I think your mayor in Washington, D.C. is clearly one of those that's been trained. And you can see her actions and activities as it was related to painting Black Lives Matter up on the street in front of the White House. That are leading up to the White House. That's the mentality they're using. It's a training system, and that matches what exactly I just said about pedophiles grooming these kids, or pedophile grooming in a very similar way these kids to be good Marxists in the future or good Nazis. You know, the difference between Marxism and Nazism is minuscule. It's actually, as some people would say, it's two sides of the same coin. So we don't want to be confused by the terminology. It's all the same. They're all totalitarians. They're all Hitlerian. I would say that Hitler and Mussolini and Mao and Lenin, they're all in the same ilk, and they're all pretty much out of the same cloth. So they use the same styles. It's like Antifa. Antifa was an anti-fascist group that came up, you know, during Hitler's time, and of course it has been adopted by the Hitlerians here in this country to the Antifa group that it is today, which is a violent group, and it got increasingly more violent over time, and they were seeding the population. In other words, they were showing the nation how they could behave, and how they started out very, very slow as a very small group, and then they started to grow and become a little bit more violent. And look at the people that were involved with Antifa. They were all sissy types, real skinny type of white kids, you know, girls and boys, you know, that sort of thing. And again, I want to say the words girls and boyish, because that's a sexual attractant to a pedophile, which is where these things could develop from.
And in fact, you spoke about the mayor of Washington, D.C. The mayor of Seattle is cut from the same cloth.
Yes.
In a sense that saying that this Chaz country that has developed in 6 square blocks is now, I think, being coned down to 3 square blocks, are now called CHOP. They changed their name to Capitol Hill Occupation Protest. The first thing didn't kind of resonate well with people. You know, she calls it a summer of love there, that this is like a street fair. Well, let's take us back to this Saturday morning. There was one shot, one in critical condition in the People's Republic of CHOP. There are robberies, there are rapes, there is a huge amount of crime. Yet the mayor is refusing to authorize the police from doing their job, let alone putting the National Guard in there to clean it up.
Well, at some point in time, she's going to be held accountable. And I was listening last night as I was going to bed. I was listening to somebody in Seattle. And, you know, Seattle's a beautiful town, by the way. I've been there many times. It's a wonderful place. And been to the fish market, Pike's Place, all that stuff, you know. The people there deserve a heck of a lot better. It's like here in California. We really deserve a lot better out here than Gavin Newsom. But the point is that her time is coming. And this person said she'd been there for about 30 years in Seattle. She loves Seattle, but something's got to change here, and it's got to be with the mayor. And she went off on the mayor. And you could tell she was sort of an apolitical person. I think that there's been a couple things that have had impacts. And I have many friends in the trucking industry, by the way. And they told me that what they were going to start doing is they were going to stop dropping off product in any city that did not support the police department. And so I know that when that first call went out, the first thing she did is she reduced the size of Chaz, known at the time, to just a couple square blocks. And I thought to myself, boy, that was pretty reactive. That got her attention. And of course, now all the businesses are leaving. That's going to get her attention. But I think that the city, the people of the city of Seattle need to wake up. But again, and do something. But again, what tools do they have as citizens to make the change in government? Because as I understand it, Seattle, like many of the cities and many of the states in this union, such as California, have a political system that's completely corrupted through the election process. So whatever, you know, you vote for, you won't get. You remember, it goes back to Lenin saying, it's not who votes, it's who counts the votes. And that's what goes on in a lot of these cities. And of course, that's going to become a big, big problem here. Gavin Newsom just put out an edict to send mail-in ballots to all registered voters in California, you know, dead or alive. And so now there's going to be a massive flood of these ballots that have no custody issue with them or containment with them, they're going to be all flooding California. So the vote's going to go the way they want it to go, which has always been the way it is. And the classic example of what's going on now in California, and by the way, if you haven't caught the news, guys, California is officially under a dictatorship and will remain that way until further notice. And the official dictatorship came out on March 4th of 2020 when Gavin Newsom declared that there was an emergency related to COVID-19 pandemic. And here's the situation. California's law that requires that the governor give up his powers of authority after 6 days of issuing that back to the legislature was modified, shockingly, in 2015 by the California State Legislature. And they modified it, said, oh, the governor can have as much time as he wants under those power authorities. Nobody knew this at the time when he came out in March 4th, but he knew it. And so he came out and changed over 400 laws in California from the time of March 4th until about the middle of this last month. And came out and gave out all these edicts and so on. Everybody, even in the California State Legislature, was dumbfounded, including Democrats, when the Democrats finally came back into session, which was a blessing for California. They were off for 2 months. But they came back in session, and the budget director of the budget committee on the Senate side asked a representative from the governor's office, can you give us the contract for that $1 billion deal for the we want to see that deal for the mask you guys made with the deal in China? And the guy said, no, we don't have to. And you know, they didn't quite understand what had happened, but the dictator said he didn't want to give it up, so he's not going to. So right now, he was challenged in court. There was a court decision, and the court decision went against the governor. This was a week ago Friday. And so they said, well, you know what he needed to do, governor, is you needed to take it to the assembly and go through the process, and then to the Senate and go through the process. And then what we would do is we would be able to pass that for you. So what he did the very next day? He issued a bill, or the Senate came out with a bill in the morning. It went through the assembly in the afternoon, and he signed it in the afternoon. That's a dictatorship, guys.
Well, we have a similar dictatorship, at least here in Michigan, with the totalitarian thug Whitmer. And she's done the same thing with her executive orders, bypass the legislature. Now there's a lawsuit, and as of this past week, the Supreme Court, a federal judge actually said the Supreme Court of Michigan needs to be looking at this because this is off the charts. And we recently had our freedom fighter barber, who in northern Michigan took her on and also beat her. So, you know, the totalitarian thugs, it's the same playbook, Paul, but they're starting to take it and they're starting to lose. Educate our listeners in how they can listen to you on a daily basis.
Well, our show emanates on Mondays through Fridays from 6 a.m. to 9 Pacific, and that's through Red State Talk Radio. We come out of Washington, D.C., and you can also check out our website, a21r.com, and also newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com.
Paul, I'd like to thank you for everything you have done, are doing, and will do. You've been on the front line of taking on the deep state. Incredible courage and incredible success. Thanks for listening to Operation Freedom. Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our ancillary bunker with links to our main campus.